Tonight I want to look at a couple of things in the Old Testament. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 15 and mark there, and then go over to 2 Kings chapter 13. I want to talk about influence tonight. And so I guess the title would be The Influence of Change. When people change and when there's change that goes on, how does that impact and what effect does that have on people? And I just want to look at two examples of that in the Old Testament. As you probably know, since we're going to 1 and 2 Kings, we're going to talk about a couple of kings. Now, the king's role was to be to lead people in the direction of, or at least the kings of Israel and Judah, were supposed to be leading people in a direction to be more godly. That's not necessarily what they did. And I think that we know that. If you spent much time just reading, you don't have to get very far into the story of the kings to realize that they didn't all do that. In fact, hardly any of them did that. In fact, only a select few actually did that. There weren't really good percentages if you want to balance out good and bad kings when it came to that. But they influenced their people greatly. And we all know that influence is very important. There's those that have an influence on us, and there's those that we influence. There are two things that we need to be giving, and I believe that we really do give great consideration and attention to. So as we look at these two kings, we're going to look at Jehoahaz and Asa. They really have nothing to do with each other. They're in separate kingdoms. One is in Judah, one is in Israel. They're very similar in the fact that they had some good and bad examples, and they both either set good or bad examples, and they were leading people. Besides that, they really didn't have much in common, I guess, it seemed to me at least. One's reign was very long, 40 years or more. The other one's reign was about at least half that, maybe even more. But they influenced people. And we all influence people. You influence people in your home, whether you're a parent or a child. You have an influence and impact on people. You influence people in the school setting that you're in the work setting. You influence people when you're at the grocery store sometimes. You can make people very happy and make them have a good day, or you can make people very frustrated. When you're driving, you're influencing me, I know that. I think you're influencing everybody when you're driving. We all influence people. And probably the greatest impact that a person can have is in the home, and I don't believe there's any doubt of that. So as I was thinking about this lesson, I started thinking about a song, and there's a country song, and I haven't read through all the lyrics, so I can't like promote this song or anything like that, but I remember the sentiment, and it's all about, I've been watching you, right? So this is how it goes, and it's about a dad seeing the things that his son does, his little boy. And his son responds every time, oh, Dad, I've been watching you. That's why he did the things he did. So just listen to this. He's driving through town, just my boy and me, with a Happy Meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't have the toy till his nuggets were gone. A green traffic light turns straight to red, hit my brakes and mumble under my breath. His fries went a-flying, and his orange drink covered his lap. And then he says that his four-year-old said a four-letter word. And then so his dad asked him, son, where'd you hear that? And his son answered and said, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you. I don't think I've ever said that, but I guess maybe little boys would say that. I'm your buckaroo. I want to be just like you. And eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. He said, we got cowboy hats and camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do, so I've been watching you. And I'm sure that the dad would sit back and think, that's so great, but think of what your son just did. And what he's saying is, I did that because I've been watching you. I said that word because I've been watching you. And then he goes on and he says several other things. He says that he prayed. He says he bowed his head, prayed real hard, and said, Lord, please help me, help my stupid self. So then, as he's taking his son to bed, putting his son to bed, his son gets down on his knees and prays. And why did he do that? Because he wants to be like his dad. And he's been watching him. And then I think you can understand that it goes on and on. It's the same thing over and over again. I want to be just like you. I'm going to do the things that you do because that's what I see you do. You know, I've heard ever since I was, in at least high school, because I have a little brother that's 9 years younger than me. I've heard ever since high school from my parents and others that, you know, your brother's watching you and other people are watching you. Many of you have heard that same thing, and you probably do the same thing that I did and just roll your eyes and think, yeah, right, or I don't care, okay? Don't look at me, look at somebody else. But the truth is, we can't help that. People are watching us. We have an influence. So we need to be very careful of what that influence is. But also, we need to be very careful of who we are allowing influence us. we know that leaven has a great deal of influence and impact on the whole lump, right? It doesn't take much leaven to influence everything else. So we understand that if we're around people are a certain way, we might be like that person eventually. So let's go ahead and get into our text, and we're going to look at 2 Kings, and we're going to begin in chapter 13, verse 1. Let's read verses 1 through 9. In the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 17 years. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. He did not depart from them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them continually into the hand of Hazael, king of Syria, and to the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael. Then Jehoahaz sought the favor of the Lord, and the Lord listened to him, for he saw the oppression of Israel, how the king of Syria oppressed them. Therefore, the Lord gave Israel a savior, so that they escaped from the hand of the Syrians, and the people of Israel lived in their homes as formerly. Nevertheless, they did not depart from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, which he made Israel to sin, but walked in them. And the Asherah also remained in Samaria. For there was not left to Jehoahaz an army of more than 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and made them like the dust at threshing. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz and all that he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Jehoahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria, and Joash's son reigned in his place. So you have Jehoahaz. He's the son of Jehu, who's the son of Jehoshaphat. There's a lot of names that kind of repeat itself, and so some of this gets a little bit difficult to understand and trying to figure out who is who. But if I was going to, I guess, summarize Jehoshaphat, it would be from 1 Kings 22, where he says in verse 41, Jehoshaphat the son of Asa began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. And then it skips on a little bit, and this is through verse 43. He walked in the way of Asa his father. He did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. Yet the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and made offerings on the high places. So here's Jehoahaz's granddad seeming to do pretty good things, it seems like. Then you go to Jehu. His reign is summarized in 2 Kings 10. The Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in carrying out what is right in my eyes and have done to the house of Ahab, according to all that was in my heart, your sons of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. But Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all his heart. He did not turn from the sins of Jeroboam, which he made Israel to sin. So you have his father, you have Jehoahaz's father, Jehu, did some good things, but didn't do all good. Because we see that the influence was still out there of the idols, of the high places. It says that he was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord. So then you get to Jehoahaz. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He followed in the sins of Jeroboam. It doesn't say he followed in the sins of Jehu or Jehoshaphat or anyone. It says Jeroboam. This goes back a long ways. This goes back to the first time where they started really departing from God. He did not depart from the evil ways. Whose fault was that? It was Jehoahaz's fault. Wasn't Jehu's fault? Wasn't Jehoshaphat's fault? It wasn't Jeroboam's fault? Wasn't his grandmother's fault? His auntie's fault? It wasn't his uncle's fault or his best bud's fault? It was his fault. He's the reason he didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam. He's the reason that he led the people in further sin and evil. Well, now let's go over and let's look at another character, another king. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. Let's read verses 9 through 15. 1 Kings 15, beginning of verse 9. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa began to reign over Judah, and he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord as David, his father, had done. He put away the male cult prostitutes out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. He also removed Maacah, his mother, from being queen mother because she had made an abominable image for Asherah. And Asa cut down her image and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly true to the Lord all his days, and he brought into the house of the Lord the sacred gifts of his father and his own sacred gifts, silver and gold and vessels. So here we have Asa. His father is Abijam. His father is Rehoboam. So let's go back the same way we did with Jehoahaz and see what happened with him. Here's how you summarize Rehoboam and his reign. 2 Chronicles 12, 13-14. So King Rehoboam grew strong in Jerusalem and reigned. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city that the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonite. He did evil, for he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. That's Asa's granddad, and his father, Abijam. 1 Kings 15, 1-3. Now in the 18th year of the king Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam began to reign over Judah. He reigned for 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. Yeah. Very repetitive, so it's kind of hard to keep track. They say the same thing over and over again about these people. He walked into all the sins of his father did before him, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. So you look at that, and then you look at verses 9 through 11, what we just read, and compare those two things. What happened with his father and then Asa? Well, his life is summarized this way in verse 11. And Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as David his father had done. And then if you notice what it said about Abijam is that his heart was not wholly true. What did it say about Asa? His heart was wholly true to the Lord. So if I had to summarize these two men, I would say that you have both of them with bad influences of the past. Both of them have the decision before them. Right, whose steps are they going to walk in? Who are they going to be like? Is this going to be a situation where something bad happens, they do something wrong, and they say, "Hey, Dad, I did just like you did." Or are they going to say, "No, I'm not going to do like you. I'm going to do different." And this isn't some sort of rebellious thing. This is, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to follow God. It says that Asa was like his father David. David wasn't his father, but he was patterned after him. And just think of the comparison of David being the one who had a heart always continually focused on God, and what it said about Asa. His heart was true to the Lord, wholly true to the Lord. So Jehoahaz followed in others' footsteps. His people followed with him. He did plead with God. That was the one good thing that he did. God gave his people a savior. But the turn to God did not last, and Jehoahaz and Israel continued in evil. Then you compare it to Asa. He did what was right in the sight of God as David, not his father. He put away idols, prostitutes, evil influences, even his own mother, it says. And all the remnants of evil. He did not take down the high places. You know, it really says that all these people that did good, these kings, they never took down the high places. I wonder if why they didn't do that. I don't know why they couldn't just take the next step. Just get rid of all of it. But he didn't. But one thing he did do is he brought the holy things back into the temple. So what lessons can we learn from these two men? What lessons can we learn from the influence over people and from the influences over themselves? I think the first lesson is that bad influence should never be followed, even in the home. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you see around you. It doesn't matter what's been done around you. I don't care if you grew up and this is all you've known. At some point, you have to make your own decisions. I don't know when that happens. I don't know at what age that might occur. But I know that must be the case. Because I don't stand before God in judgment for the fact that, oh, well, you know, your son did this. Now, I could do that if I didn't raise him. But I stand before God based off of what I do. And these men did the things that they did. They couldn't blame their father or their grandfather or their wife or anybody like that. Bad influences should never be followed, even in the home, even in the workplace, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult and you know there's punishment right around the corner. I want you to think about this for just one second. Who is the greatest influence over your life? Who has the greatest impact on you in your life? And why? Why? And if you had it to do over again, would you change that? I know who mine is. And I know who all of, I know in the end all of us should say that God has had the greatest influence. But on this earth, we all know there's at least one, maybe you can only narrow it down to two people that have had the greatest influence over you. Are you willing? Are you able to differentiate the good with the bad and say, I'm not going to be like them in this way and I will be like them in this way? I tell you what, we have to be able to do that. We have to be able to say, you know what, they did some good things, I'm going to be like them in that, but they did some bad things, I'm not going to be like that. We have a tendency sometimes to just lump it all together and say, hey, it was all good. Well, that's never really the case. You see, if Asa had done that, then he would have wound up being just like his father. But he wasn't. He wasn't at all. We need to make sure that we're willing to, as we often say, find our own faith. We need to make sure we're willing to truly understand what God wants for us and then pursue it. So that brings us to the second point, which is we can decide how we live. It's our choice. It's our decision. It's not written in stone, this is how you must do it, because this is how your father did it, or grandfather. You make your own decision on how you live your life. That is so clear to some people that they need to do that, but others seem just to go with the flow. They just float through life. And they don't seem to make any decisions, they just do what's right in front of them. Make your own choices. Decide for yourself what's right. I'll tell you what, if Joshua hadn't done that, I don't know where the children of Israel would have been. If those other great men had not done that, I don't know where Israel would have been. God needs good leaders. He needs people that are willing to say, this is what's right, I'm going to do it. I don't care what you say, this is my choice. If you want to follow me, great. That's what we need to be. All of us need to be that in our own circle, in our own groups. It might be that you have very little influence. You know, none of us are kings. I mean, you might think you're king sometimes, but none of us are kings. We don't have influence over the people like they did. But what if you have influence over just one? That's enough. That's enough. So do your best to make sure you're influencing them in that way. But your influence, this is the third point, your influence can have a major impact, though. This is not something to be taken lightly. I want you to think with me just about someone who maybe would be very inconspicuous and not someone who gets a lot of limelight, that gets a great deal of, doesn't get a great deal of attention, but has a great influence over you. I want you to think about that person for a second. What is it about them that caused you to think that's a great influence for me? I'm not going to call anyone out here because I think that would just embarrass them. But there's some people, and there's one person I can think of in particular. I always see this person going up and talking to visitors. I always see them sitting out and talking with people who they would perceive to be hurting and in pain when they themselves are hurting and in pain. That's a great influence. But they don't get up here. They don't go and teach classes. But they influence me. And I believe they influence some of you as well. We can be that. So don't put down your influence over people. And don't think you have to be a leader that stands in front of people to actually lead. I can think of one person that has always stood out to me that's just impressive almost. I think of Andrew, the Lord's disciple. He doesn't get a whole lot of credit. You know, his brother Peter, you know, he gets a lot of credit. Peter, he was great. You know, he had a great sermon and he was an elder, we know. And what about Andrew? Don't know much about him. But if you go back and you look at the story about when Jesus was going to feed the 4,000, I believe it was four or 5,000, you know, it's only one of, so 50% chance I'm right there, whether he's going to feed the 4,000 or 5,000, and who was it that came back and reported, this is all we have amongst all the people? It was Andrew. Now, maybe this is just an option, I guess, or just my opinion. I think Andrew was a man of the people. I think he knew the people well enough to say, this is all we have. I surveyed all the people. They came to me and told me. Why did they go to Andrew? Why was Andrew the one that knew that, and not Peter, and not any of the other disciples? Maybe Andrew had a great deal of influence without ever standing up and without ever actually being seen by everybody. Maybe he was out there in the crowd. The greatest people that I can think of as leaders are the people who, they never stood up. They did everything from the pew. They did everything from their seat. They did everything behind the scenes. And that can be you. I don't want you to ever think that you have to be looked at as great and being given all the glory and the attaboys and the pats on the back for you to actually influence people. People are always watching you. Young people are. Old people are. Those that maybe you think that are influences over you, they're looking at you as an influence. And the fourth point is all it takes to lead is dedication. If you're still in 1 Kings 15, I want you to look at verse 14. The high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, that was a bad thing, by the way. I already said that once. I want to say it again. It was a bad thing that the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, The heart of Asa was wholly true to the Lord all his days. He was loyal. He was dedicated. He was determined. He was faithful to God. That's all it takes. All it takes is true dedication. Devoting your heart wholly to God. That's how you lead the way. You don't have to do it by things you say. All it has to be is the way you live your life. The heart of Asa was wholly true to the Lord all his days. That reminds me of what I hope could be said of me one day. That he walked with the Lord the rest of his days. Can that be said of you? Your heart is wholly true to God. You're dedicated to Him. You're loyal to Him. Or are you loyal and dedicated to Him when people are around? That's not being a good influence. Are you loyal and dedicated to Him when it's time to stand up and participate in worship service? That's not the influence. That's not the good influence you need to be. The good influence is when you're in your conversations with people and taking the effort and making sure you reach out to people. That's how you influence others. My grandmother, you all met her, not you all, but I mean, you know, a lot of you met her the last time when they were up here just a few weeks ago. Great influence over me. You know what? She doesn't do a whole lot of the talking. My granddad does. She still has influenced me. She's influenced a lot of other people too. She's just a sweet, nice lady who does whatever she can and wants to serve. I'm sure some of you know people like that as well. You don't have to be a lady. You don't have to be older. But you need to be sweet to be able to do some of that. That's all it takes. Just to realize the importance of your influence. Be devoted to God and do whatever you can. So who is influencing you? I've had many friends, and I think someone joked with me a while back that I don't have any good stories about my friends. I have a lot of great friends. They're just not all that appealing as the stories to tell. It's the people who I know and are friends of mine or were friends of mine that have done terrible things. Those are the people who I think of a lot because I'm concerned about them. But you know the one consistent thing with a lot of them is they blame other people for where they are and who they are. I think of one guy, Ray, had a very similar home situation that I have. And you know what? He always blamed everybody. Always did. I thank God that never crossed my mind to do that. That would have gotten me out of a lot of bad situations, and it would have really passed the buck on other people. He did that all the time. You know where he is? I don't know. You could throw a dart and throw it on a map. Take a guess. I have no idea. I know one thing. He wasn't true to God because he blamed other people. Don't be like that. But what you have to do is you have to have good influences. You have to pursue that. You have to try to get that. And the second thing you got to do is you got to be a good influence to some other people. Whoever is in your charge, and it might not be something where the Lord has anointed you and set people under you, but you have people that you're influencing. You have people that are underneath you in some way. So how are you doing influencing them? Chances are we can all improve in that. I know that I can. And if you think you can improve in that, I would ask that you just go and you look in your Bibles and you look at the character of those men and women who are great influences, great leaders in one way or the other. Try to be like them. Try to be like Andrew. Try to be like Asa. Try to be like David, Jonathan even. Let's let those people be our heroes as opposed to some sort of great athlete that can dunk a basketball or that can hit a home run. Those don't need our heroes, our influences. They might give to charity, but they might be on their third, fourth, fifth marriage and be doing a lot of terrible things. Look to people that are good influences and be a good influence. You might not be a king, but I'll tell you one thing you do know. You know a king. You know the king that you serve, and that's Jesus Christ. He is our king. We sing about him, we follow him, we serve him. So it might be that you're here tonight, and you have not been a good servant. You've not been one that someone could say, I know who he serves, and it's King Jesus. You might be one that said, I know who he serves himself. You need to make that change. You need to repent, because obviously that influence has affected other people. Or it might be that you have not ever bowed down to Jesus and claimed him as Lord, Son of God. You need to do that. Confess who he is and be baptized so that you can have your sins washed away. If you need to make any sort of spiritual confession or if you need to have any spiritual need this evening, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?